السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. I know that tonight they are celebrating Diwali, and being part of their customary practice or ritual to fire crackers, so there will be a lot of sound, a lot of noise. But we are living in a multicultural, multi-religious society. So therefore we have to tolerate certain things. We don't say we must appreciate, we don't say that we must consider the religious and customary practices of others as something of significance. We don't say that you must consider it as part of Sharia and Deen, that you must respect those customary practices. What we are saying is tolerate. Meaning, if the person is your neighbor, if the person is in the locality, if that person of another faith is within your circle, so then whatever they are going to do, you have to tolerate to some extent. That is their responsibility, that they should not do those things that cause kind of concern or that creates problem for the neighbors or creates problem for the society or creates problem for the animals, creates problems for the cats and dogs also. That is their side of the problem, that they should be considerate. They should not do those things that will cause injury and pain or disturbance. But from our side we will say that we must tolerate. That means we will not do anything that will be offensive or anything that will cause a kind of interracial or interreligious fights and arguments and problems. We are not going to go around condemning and rejecting in front of them whatever they are doing. Presenting Islam is our duty. We will present Islam. And if somebody asks us with regards to any particular custom and practice of some other faith and religion, then we will answer to the best of our ability why that is not in Islam. Islam gives us nothing but beauty. Islam gives us nothing but simplicity. Islam gives us everything that creates harmony and peace. If we exceed the limits, then it's again our problem. With regards to the azan, we have been repeatedly saying that there is no need to put full blast, full volume, and disturb the whole area or reach far and wide, especially in our area where we have 10-12 masajid. Now some days it so happens that our Maghrib namaz commences. We say Allahu Akbar, the Imam is reciting, and we can hear very, very clearly and loudly the azan of another masjid, which is quite far away from here, but it reaches. Now the Imam is reading Qiraat and the Azan of another masjid is disturbing. Now if it had been Hindus making a big noise outside, or Christians making a big noise outside, or some other sound that was disturbing, we all would have made a big noise. But we are inconsiderate. Now nobody is objecting to Azan. How can anybody object to Azan? If there is a masjid, it requires Azan. Tell the Muazzin to give Azan. It doesn't say anywhere in any kitab, in any fiqh, in any jurisprudence that we must have the speaker's full blast. So then if people of other faith complain, so then we must blame ourselves for it. And this is the condition of this masjid, which is far away from those masajid. So what about those which are just around that masajid? Those masajid which are just around from where the azan comes so loudly into our masjid, or from the other masajid. So what about that which is just near the masjid? How much of disturbance that must be causing to those musallis? Now disturbing the musalli, now we can't say that that is coming from people of other faith. But our duty is to advise, to pass on the message, and if somebody does not accept, then we don't fight. But our nature and mizaj has become now of fighting. Why must somebody advise? So therefore, some will even say, we must bust them up. Now what must bust them up? They say the metro police, if they come or somebody comes and tells us to lower the volume, we must bust them up. Now, is that Islam? Is that Sharia? If that person is complaining, listen to his complaint. If it's a valid complaint, then listen to it. Yes, if it's not a valid and legitimate complaint, if you are giving azan in a normal voice, loud voice, without any speakers, nothing, and then if they say, no, stop all the azan, then we will make jihad to have it implemented. But we are not going to fight for the volume. Sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they spread throughout the world. Different parts of the world they went. Show me one hadith sharif where it is mentioned that then they made the muazzin give azan over the loudspeaker, over the public address system, and they put the volume very loud so that Allah's words may reach the other end of the city. Does it say anywhere? So was there namaz and azan not valid? So if there's only one masjid and they have that kind of loud volume, it's acceptable, people don't listen and come. But what we have at present is definitely not acceptable. And then in some countries and some places and even in our country sometimes, if there's a program in the masjid, then it is put on the azan speakers. Azan speakers. Unconcerned at that part of the day or night, who's sleeping or awake. Volume supposed to be loud enough for the people of the masjid. So in nothing we have got i'tidal. In everything is extremism. And thereafter we claim that we are propagating the deen of Allah Ta'ala. We are giving dawat towards Allah Ta'ala's deen through these azans. Now this sounds very beautiful. That statement is very beautiful. We are giving dawat to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. But surely how many people accepted the deen of Allah Ta'ala through that dawat where we put the loudspeakers very, very loud? Or did it distance lots of people? So what I was saying is that we have to tolerate sometimes some customary practices of people of other faiths and religions, but we must not show appreciation, we must not show respect, and we must not become participants. That is the whole issue. That at present our children, many of our family members, many of our friends, then they also participate in those very things which others are doing. Say, what does it matter if we also fire a few crackers here and there? What does it matter? If we also fire a few crackers, what does it matter? Now it matters quite a bit, because مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. If you were to follow the customary and traditional practices of another nation and people, then we become of them. The person becomes of them. Even though he may be just doing it casually, but if it is on that occasion in which they are doing a certain kind of celebration, and on that day we say, what does it matter if we also fire a few crackers? Then it matters quite a bit. The other day somebody mentioned that in one of the toilets somebody fired a cracker. So I said, well, that we have to be very careful. Don't blame anybody in a hurry. This is some children in the toilet, they fired crackers. It could be somebody else was firing crackers there. So don't mistake the sounds also. You have to be careful before accusation. Abu Bakr, why laughing too much? Because when such kind of sounds from all over coming, person could be mistaken. So give the person the benefit of the doubt that he didn't fire cracker. Nevertheless, what I'm saying is this, that on the occasion of another people of some other faith, when they are celebrating their religious festival, then at that time to participate in such kind of things is very dangerous. It borders on kufr, because the person is sort of accepting it willingly, happily. He is not finding it hurtful inside. There's no grief inside. We must make a lot of shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala when they are doing what they are doing now. That how beautiful a religion, beautiful a deen Allah ta'ala gave to us. Take it from any angle and you'll find nothing but beauty in it. Take the aqaid of the Muslim. Everything that's something that's rational, acceptable. There is nothing better than that anybody can offer. Believe in one Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, believe in Akhirah, Day of Judgment, Jannah, Jahannam, all these things. If you take the ibadat, how beautiful the ibadat, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, everything, there's nothing but beauty in it. Then look at the namaz itself, you have to make taharat, make wuzu before the namaz. Then look at the purification masail that are there, look at the istinja masail, look at the wuzu masail, the ghusl masail. Look at our clothes have to be parked, the place where we make namaz has to be parked. In everything, look at the purity. And if that person is going to be so concerned about the purity of his body, his clothes, and the place that he's making namaz, then how much more concerned he must be about the purity of his soul? How much more concerned he must be? That he's making namaz, where he's washing his hands and washing his face and washing his feet and doing everything, and five times a day, or we do not know how many times a day. But the person is now so concerned that if there is any hair breadth of space that was left, a person was making wuzu there and somehow he kept his one finger out and didn't wash it. So the person sitting next to him will straight away say, well, you didn't wash that one finger. He'll show concern that in wuzu this person didn't wash that one finger. So if we are going to be so concerned, the person's clothes, if we see some najasat or some impurity, the person may not have realized it, but due to some injury or some burst of a pimple or anything of that sort, or there was some other kind of fuss and matter flowing and he didn't realize it and his kurta got soiled, then if we notice it, we'll tell the person straight away, check this out and wash it out. So the purification of the body is so important, then what about the purification of the soul? So Islam in everything, there's nothing but beauty in it. So look at our celebrations. We are told to increase the takbir on Eid day, read takbir. Then again, other days we make five time namaz, on Eid day make one extra namaz. Then other, every day we make Allahu Akbar and namaz starts, on Eid day they make six extra takbirs. That is our celebration. Celebrate the praises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Stay in clean clothes, make more ibadat, more zikr, more tilawat, and then eat good food, wear some good clothes. That means our nafsani requirements, that to Allah ta'ala gave it a flavor and said, alright, these are normally your nafsani requirements, But if we bring it within the parameters of Sharia, that now you're wearing good clothes, eating good food, because it's the day of Eid, so now you're wearing sawab also. Look at Allah Ta'ala's fazl on this. But don't do anything that will cause disturbance, that will cause hurt or pain or injury to animals or human beings or to neighbors or to the society. Now that is Islam. Such beauty in everything. So therefore I decided that we'll have a small majlis here, otherwise I'm not well. But for the sake of brothers like you all, I said we'll rather sit here for a little while. Instead of going outside and say, look at that. Look at that one, look at that one. Look at that cracker, look at that, what went into the skies. And I will just keep observing that, or we'll keep complaining. Big noise, big noise, big noise. So instead of that, a few minutes we sit here and condition our minds. So that when we go home, then we lock our doors and go inside and finish. Don't sit in the verandas and outside and start admiring all what is happening around. Because that enjoyment that we get in watching all that happening on the day of their festivity is in actual fact our participation in it. We may not be participating physically that we are crusting also crackers, but our heart is with it. Our heart's enjoyment is in it. So if we can get this congregation also saved, inshallah it will become beneficial. That when we go from here, then our minds are conditioned. That they will do what they have to do. We must put earplugs and slip away if we don't want to listen. Or occupy ourselves in listening to some good tape, good programs, some Naat Sharif, some Tilawat of Quran Sharif, some Bayan, some Waz, or read some good literature and sleep. Instead of just sitting and complaining. Now that everyone is proceeding, or many hujjaj are proceeding, therefore I said our heart is pulled in that direction. Unke darbare aqdas mein jab bhi koi ghamzada a gaya, tishna kaam a gaya. Unke darbare aqdas mein jab bhi koi ghamzada a gaya, tishna kaam a gaya. غم غلط ہو گئے معصیت دھل گئی مغفرت عافیت کا پیام آ گیا ان کے دربار اقدس میں جب بھی کوئی غم زدہ آ گیا تشنا کام آ گیا غم غلط ہو گئے معصیت دھل گئی مغفرت عافیت کا پیام آ گیا ان کے دربار اقدس میں جب بھی کوئی when a person comes away to the روزہ مبارک of نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام he goes away to مدینہ شریف in the مسجد of نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام غم غلط ہو گئے معصیت دل گئی all his worries and everything just vanish. And all his sins also, and if he goes there and makes use of the opportunity to make sincere tawbah, then masriyat dul gayi, all his sins also are washed away. And I've repeatedly explained the conditions of sincere tawbah, that the person makes his intention to repay to whomsoever whatever has to be paid, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, whatever is missed, kafara has to be paid, zakat has to be paid, and he says, now I'm going to do that. And if the rights of people he has trampled, then ask them for forgiveness. And make an intention not to return to those sins, so then the sins will be forgiven. Now it means that he must go in that direction and fulfill that pledge and promise. So, gham ghalat ho gaye, maasiyat dul gayi. Whatever worries he came there with. And it happens, it's a reality. Many of us have experienced that. And outside the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or from here when we are leaving, there's so many things on the mind. The moment you reach Madina Sharif, the moment you see the green dome, and especially the moment you walk into the masjid. And thereafter, as you get the opportunity to keep moving forward, and if still there is a place there in Riyazul Jannah, and if you are blessed to make two rakats of namaz in Riyazul Jannah, or if not, then any other place there in the masjid, we make our two rakats of namaz. Now when you are making those two rakats of namaz, you are not making it in Masjid-e-Noor in Ashur. You are not making it in China, Japan and America or somewhere. And now whilst you are making namaz in that masjid, you know it's a masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. According to one riwayat, 1,000 extra rakats of sawab, and according to another one, 50,000 blessings is increased. Now the person is there, but increase of blessing is a different thing. The main thing is that whichever section he is in now, especially if he's in Riyadh al-Jannah, then he knows that just 2 or 3 meters on his side, just 2 or 3 meters on his side, is Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can that person then have any worries left? When he knows Rahmatul lil Alameen is there, and it is just a matter of moments after he has made plenty of istighfar and tawbah in Riyazul Jannah, wherever he is making, and now he is going to be proceeding to stand before the greatest after Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. From Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has blessed with a hayat that we can't understand. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Rawza Mubarak. Now the person is going to get an opportunity within a few seconds and moments. So, hum ghalat ho gaye, maasiyat dul gaye. Especially now that he comes in front of the Rawza Mubarak. And where he pours out his heart, acknowledging before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala his sins, his weaknesses, his shortcomings, and asking Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for his shafaat and for his intercession, to make dua to Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness of his sins. The maghfirat comes from Allah Ta'ala. But this person stands there and he, tears rolling down his cheeks, and with no other thought in the mind, all that whatever was there, he has cleared it out before coming there. And all that baggage that he had brought for sins from South Africa or anywhere else, that baggage now he has left behind. By means of his tawbah and istighfar and sincere nadamat and shame, he has removed all that weight and burden that was already there. For he knows that he's going now before an X-ray machine. Our X-ray machines can tell you what's wrong with the bones and what's wrong with the stomach and what's wrong with the head and what's wrong with the other parts of the body. And we can even X-ray those containers now. They X-ray them to see if there's drugs in there. There's so many different kinds of X-rays. When we walk through in the immigration, so many different kinds of X-rays. Our bags are X-rayed. If everything can be X-rayed, if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that power to X-ray our hearts, then what is the difficulty in understanding that? So our inside gets exposed. Now how can the person then, we at the Rawza Mubarak, before he has washed away all those sins with his tawbah and istighfar and nadamat, first he does that and then goes there. Therefore I always say, don't rush. Straight away you want to get to the Rawza Mubarak. Find some corner in the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And preferably away from friends and everybody else, so that there's no disturbance at all to the mind. And thereafter go to the Rawza Mubarak and see what you have, what happens there. It's not just a grave that is there. Experiences of people. Sometimes I was standing just next to someone who has got that kind of marifat and that kind of yaqeen and that kind of muhabbat and that kind of ishq for Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just standing next to that person, our heart can start getting some kind of inspiration and some kind of fire of ishq and muhabbat lights up in our hearts. Just standing. So then what must be happening in the Rawza Mubarak itself? What kind of tajalli must be there? Because I, alhamdulillah, had the opportunity of standing up next to our Arif Billah Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatum, my Shaykh and Murshid. during the days that he was fit and healthy, and he was standing there, that I think mentioned that incident. So standing there and just holding his hand, while tears were rolling down his cheek. It was as if there was some kind of current that flowed in. How you boosted a dead battery. Person has got a fully charged battery and somebody's battery is dead, and how you boost it and it gets a charge. So like that, the dead heart of this insignificant slave and servant of Allah Ta'ala, with the holding of the hand of my Hazrat, on that occasion experienced a charge that I can't describe in words. So there's something happening at the Roza Mubarak. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the opportunity to be there and with great sincerity stand there. Read as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habiballah. کے دربار اقدس میں جب بھی کوئی غمزدہ آ گیا تشنا کام آ گیا غم غلط ہو گئے معصیت دل گئی مغفرت عافیت کا پیام آ گیا غم غلط ہو گئے معصیت دل گئی مغفرت عافیت کا پیام آ گیا مغفرت and عافیت message of مغفرت and عافیت seems to come when the person gets the opportunity to be at the darbar-e aqdas. But I repeatedly mentioned that we have to clear our mind, all the cobwebs and everything else. There was a time, and even at present, we encourage people that must go there, buy some property there, buy some flat there, buy some place of residence there if you can get. Buy and make niyat, inshallah, someday we'll come and settle. But then what happens now is that the person has bought one property here, one property there, one property there. The 7 or 10 days or 15 days that he goes there, his mind is only in those properties. Now that became another means of distancing the person. Look at nafs and shaitan, in which angles they come. The whole purpose of that property there was so that the heart becomes attracted. So that we look forward to going there and settling there. That was the whole purpose. But now those same properties became the means of speculation. If I sell this, I can make so much. If I buy that one and then sell that one, then I can make so much. So now in the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to the person is sitting there, but I have to meet this agent, I have to meet that agent, I have to meet that agent, they're already talking about the agents that they're going to be meeting. Now again, I'm not saying it's haram, I'm not saying it's not right to buy properties or to buy and sell. Nothing wrong with that, you must not misunderstand. And what I'm getting at is this, that sukoon that we were in search of, that sukoon, where are we going to find that sukoon if our mind is once again in that same business as we were in our country? That again the same thing. That means no change comes in our lives. The same. Before we were making money here, now we'll make money there. Therefore it's a oont re oont teri konsi kal sidhi, camel o camel, which part of your body is straight? If we're going in one good direction, then again, round about the same, that greed will still be there. Of course, we have some people there, but it doesn't bother them whether they make any money or don't make money. Their intention is that we must make use of the place and stay there as much as we can and make the niyat of someday settling there. Then there are people like that too. But I'm talking about those people who suddenly got into that greed mode. That there too again, speculation. Purchasing also on the same. If you only buy this one now, and 1 year later we sell this, and 2 years later we can buy that, then that one, it just carries on. No end to it. So the whole trip of the person goes in nothing but the same material, love for material things. That's which was supposed to be reduced. Shaitan is too shrewd. He doesn't leave a person in Makkah Shri, Madina Shri. Unke darbare aqdas mein jab bhi koi ghamzada a gaya, tishna kaam a gaya. غم غلط ہو گئے معصیت دل گئی مغفرت عافیت کا پیام آ گیا غم غلط ہو گئے معصیت دل گئی غم غلط ہو گئے معصیت دل گئی مغفرت عافیت کا پیام آ گیا ان کے دربار اقدس میں جب بھی کوئی غمزدہ آ گیا تشنا کام آ گیا person with all the pain and grief and sorrow of the world if he comes there especially at that time that he is there by the Rosa Mubarak there is absolutely no gham left no pain left no worry in the world left except one that my Allah must become pleased, He must forgive my sins, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam must be pleased with my coming. That is the only concern, that we must be pleased with our coming. Not displeased. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam must make shafaat for us. At that time, if a person is thinking of anything else, then he must move away from there. Don't stand there. Is disrespect. Therefore, I always say, don't stand too long. And don't sit too long in those places like Riyaz al-Jannah and there, if the mind is not there. You rather sit for half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours, and then go outside and come back inside. Then sitting there for 6 hours, and then 5 hours out of those 6 hours, the mind is everywhere else but there. People are reading Quran Sharif but their mind is not there. Reading Tasbih but their mind is not there. We have seen reading people reading Quran Sharif and as they're reading Quran Sharif, then suddenly they felt the ring in the pocket on the cell phone. So they take the cell phone out now and the Quran Sharif is open and now the cell phone message. And what is the message? Somebody's marriage is taking place somewhere. So that's a message. In the Haram Sharif, now is that an important message? But some people just have got that habit. They keep their cell phones on all the time. One is if there is a necessity, there's a need, somebody is going to be contacting to find out where you are, which side you're sitting or something is different. Now this every little message they are checking. Now when there was no cell phone in existence, those people didn't survive. Without cell phone. People didn't find them somewhere in the Haram Sharif. So there are certain things out of need or necessity is permissible. But now in the Haram Sharif, Rosa Mubarak in front and the person is in Quran Sharif. So Quran Sharif in the Haram Sharif. And every little while the person cell phone. What are we going to complain about? Therefore, at such times it's better they leave the cell phone in the hotel room and when the person meets you after that, say, I didn't have my cell phone. Or take the message after the namaz, go outside, take the messages and if there's some urgent message, then give the person a call. So can that person ever get sukoon? Even though he may stay whole year in Madina Sharif, can he get sukoon if his mind is everywhere else but Madina Sharif? Unke darbar aqdas mein jab bhi koi ghamzada a gaya tishna kaam a gaya gham galat ho gaye maasiyat dul gayi maghfirat aafiyat ka payam a gaya صدقے ہوا خوش قرباں ہوئے ضبط صدقے ہوا خوش قرباں ہوئے دو جہاں عالم وجد میں آ گیا ضبط صدقے ہوا ہوش قرباں ہوئے دو جہاں عالم وجد میں آ گیا دل کو لذت ملی دل کو لذت ملی چشم پر نم ہوئی جب زباں پر محمد کا نام آ گیا دل کو لذت ملی چشم پر نم ہوئی دل کو لذت ملی دل کو لذت ملی چشم پر نم ہوئی جب زباں پر محمد کا نام آ گیا صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم دل کو لذت ملی چشم پر نم ہوئی From here we mention نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام's name. We listen to نعت شریف, we listen to درود شریف. If it has such kind of impact on our hearts, then imagine in Madina Sharif, and especially when the Rosa Mubarak is right there in front. We are sitting there and sometimes our gaze goes onto the green dome and sometimes onto the Jali Mubarak and sometimes into the area around there and sometimes we're peeping into the where the Rosa Mubarak is. Now all these things, and at that time when the name of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes onto our tongues, Muhammad, just imagine what kind of enjoyment, what kind of lazzat. So he says, Dil ko lazzat mili, the heart got great amount of enjoyment, satisfaction. Chashma purnam hui, and the eyes got filled with tears. Jab zuba par Muhammad ka naam aa gaya. Picture yourself in that area, in that atmosphere and environment. Te jo lene gaye khud kalime khuda, te jo lene gaye khud kalime khuda, farq ye hai kalim aur mehboob ka. تے جو لینے گئے خود کلیم خدا تے جو لینے گئے خود کلیم خدا فرق یہ ہے کلیم اور محبوب میں وہ کلام اس کا لینے گئے طور پر وہ کلام اس کا لینے گئے طور پر ان کے گھر خود خدا کا کلام آ گیا وہ کلام اس کا لینے گئے طور پر ان کے گھر خود خدا کا کلام آ گیا The all Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and we respect each and every Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and each one had his own status and position. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave different anbiya, different positions. So as Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to Tur to go and receive the kalam of Allah. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his home comes down the kalam of Allah. Allah sends it to him in his house or wherever he is. تے جو لینے گئے خود کلیم خدا فرق یہ ہے کلیم اور محبوب میں وہ کلام اس کا لینے گئے طور پر ان کے گھر خود خدا کا کلام آ گیا بزم کون ہے ان کی جب سواری گئی بزم کونین کی جب سواری گئی آسمان و زمین میں صفے بچھ گئی انبیاء آ گئے مرسلین آ گئے مقتدی آ چکے تو امام آ گیا. Well, you can understand this. Inshallah, some other day we'll read it again. As I said tonight, I'm not in that. بزم کونین کی جب سواری گئی آسمان و زمین میں صفے بچ گئی. انبیاء آ گئے مرسلی آ گئے مقتدی آ چکے تو امام آ گیا. انبیاء آ گئے مرسلی آ گئے. All the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. All the Nabis of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. First Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gathered them in Masjid al-Aqsa. First they were there. Whether it was the souls, but Allah ta'ala gave them the surat al-Mithali. That means they were in a human form. As when they were alive, Allah ta'ala made them all present. So Anbiya gaye. مرسلی آ گئے جبرائیل علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام then catches the hand of نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام and say now you make the امامت. The امام الانبیاء مقتدی came away, مرسلی came away, انبیاء اور came away, now the امام آ گیا. Our امامت is of مقتدیز like us. If somebody makes the imamat, who's muqtadi? Who is the muqtadi? People like us, with all our baggage and sins and everything else. And they, who was the imam? Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who was the muqtadi? The entire congregation, Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. Bazm kaunain ki jab sawari gayi آسمان و زمین میں صفے بچھ گئی. انبیاء آ گئے مرسلی آ گئے مقتدی آ چکے تو امام آ گیا. ان کے دربار اقدس میں جب بھی کوئی غمزدہ آ گیا تشنا کام آ گیا. ذکر ساقی یہ کوثر سے اے ہم نشی, ذکر ساقی یہ کوثر سے اے ہم نشی, دل کو کچھ لذت و فرحت ایسی ملی. جیسے تسلیم خود سامنے آ گئی, جیسے ہاتھوں میں کوثر کا جام آ گیا. ذکر ساقی یہ کوثر سے اے ہم نشی, دل کو کچھ لذت و فرحت ایسی ملی. جیسے تسنیم خود سامنے آ گئی, جیسے ہاتھوں میں کوثر کا جام آ گیا. One of the rivers of Jannat. Taking the name of Allah, of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, say the heart got such satisfaction, such lazzat, such enjoyment. As if, haatho mein kawthar ka jam a gaya. On the day of Qiyamah, we'll have to wait until then. And if Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam gives us with his mubarak hands a jam of kawthar, الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. میرے مولا ہم گنہگار سیاہکار بدکار مجرم اور خطاکار، اے میرے مولا او میں بلاول اللہ یو رحیم یو کریم یو ستار یو غفار یو ستار یو غفار یا خطاکار یا بدکار، بٹ میں بلاول اللہ with محبت we read the نعت شریف نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام your beloved رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم with محبت we took his name with the برکت of نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نعت شریف اور نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام یا اللہ forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members, ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make it easy for us, my beloved Allah, to reach Madina Tayyibah. Bless us, my beloved Allah, with the rahmat and the barakat and the rains of maghfirat that pour in Madina Tayyibah. My beloved Allah, bless us all in our lifetime with Hajj of Baytullah. My beloved Allah, bless us all with the best of the Haramain Sharifain. Protect Masjid Aqsa, my beloved Allah. Safeguard Masjid Aqsa. Liberate Palestine, my beloved Allah. Bless us all with good health, prosperity, happiness, contentment. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Fill our hearts with the muhabbat of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us, my beloved Allah, with your muhabbat and the love of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with your ita'at and the ita'at of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering, remove the pain and suffering. Bless us with barakat in our sustenance, barakat in our businesses, barakat in our homes, in our life, in our time. Bless us with shahadat, bless us with death in Madina Tayyibah. Don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. My beloved Allah, ہمارے حال پر رحم فرما، رحم فرما، رحم فرما. مجھ کو جینے کا سہارا چاہیے، غم تمہارا دل ہمارا چاہیے. بحر الفت کا کنارا چاہیے، سر ہمارا در تمہارا چاہیے. یا رب کرم سے اپنے دونوں جہان، یا رب کرم سے اپنے تو دونوں جہان، یہ مستحق غضب کا ہے اس کو امان. درجے پر خطا ہے پر کہاں جائے تیرا بندہ، گرچہ پر خطا ہے پر کہاں جائے تیرا بندہ. تیرے दर पर तेरा बंदा बहुमीदे करम आया, गरचे पुर खता है पर कहा जाए तेरा बंदा, गरचे पुर खता है पर कहा जाए तेरा बंदा, तेरे दर पर तेरा बंदा व उम्मीद करम آيا. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم